Morning, Seth. I guess.
Hey, too bad. How about you?
Been better.
Well,
It's just like woke up like 4 o'clock in the morning or something. I couldn't fall back asleep till like 7.
I feel like I've been doing that a ton lately. It's just so frustrating.
And yesterday was, I was already feeling it by the end of the day there, because I was caught up in the details and I started talking to Kurt about the big picture.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of questions. And so the plan last night was that I was going to mop up some of this stuff this morning after the meeting, and he was going to try to write down some of what we think is kind of up in the air so we can at least get a sense of what it is we have to nail down.
Right.
And then, he's going to try to see if maybe some kind of a plan would take shape, and then we would circle back later and try it again. But now I'm doing that on no sleep, so I estimate that might still be a bit something. So maybe I'll just have that meeting with you guys tomorrow, and then yeah, the next step was we're going to loop you in. Is Jakob back tomorrow? Thursday for sure, but.
Jakob looks like he is going to be out back tomorrow, according to the calendar. But it won't be. What's this meet? Oh, what's this meeting tomorrow?
I don't know. At some point, we just want to talk more about the directory.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of open questions. And in some sense, you just got to pick something and we'll go from there. But like, it goes in directions.
I wasn't sure if people were intending to come to this meeting this morning, given that both Jakob and Mallory are out.
I guess not.
Is
It would have
there anything
been.
that would be helpful to chat with her about? It sounds like you guys talked yesterday, so not too much then.
I suppose not really. No, yeah, we have a fair bit. We're just trying to get it all kind of organized so that we can articulate it better. It's the flavor of things would be like, well, do we have any sort of multi-tenancy or not?
On the directory specifically, or the whole thing?
On the directory specifically.
Yeah.
And then if we do, it kind of looks like what we want is a tenant per consortium. Except it's got to coexist in the same system with the same users that are currently working on a tenant per institution. And so we probably would just have, we would just use that as a way to associate a tenant with an institution. And that's useful because if you have a permission like can read private directory entries or whatever, that's going to be scoped to the institution. So we have to know that somehow. But then if we have some permission, like you're a administrator of a consortium, which one kind of thing? Well, if the tenant's representing your institution, who represents your consortium? So maybe this entire software, each running instance of it can only handle one consortium, but that seems kind of limited. Maybe it's fine, at least as a starting place. Still better than the spreadsheets, I guess. I hope. but and so on from there, and yeah, that kind of stuff.
It sounds like some of this stuff derives from is downstream from some decisions about usage that we want to allow or not allow. Which is,
Right, Mallory was saying that she had a meeting. Has that happened yet?
I don't know if it's happened
It
yet. No, I
was
think I believe
postponed
it has. Yeah, this
a
meeting.
couple times.
Hey, Ian. We're thinking this meeting is not going to have won't have much of a structure because of the absence of Mallory and Jakob. How are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
I'm okay. Yeah.
I slept better, but I'm otherwise fine.
Yeah, Jakob doesn't have bad sleep.
I haven't been working on Trove much. I've been doing a little bit of work on cleaning up our Cardinal environment to get it ready again to use now that we're sort of shifting back into regularly scheduled feature development.
That sounds good. I don't have a picture in my head of this, but are we any more, do we feel like we're more on top of those exceptions, those runtime exceptions that were being churned out by Trove and masses?
Yeah, I think Kurt's addressed some of the ones that are in there. We're still getting some. I haven't been to the channel in a little while. Still getting some exceptions, but yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Just a couple of them.
Ah, okay. So I've turned on my computer now, and turns out that Kurt is getting a tetanus shot out of an abundance of caution because last night he stepped on a nail in his garage.
Oh,
Oh, for fuck's sake. That's scary. All right. Is there anything else? I mean, is there anything, Jason? It sounds like you guys are working on writing up the things that you're concerned about, and the ones you've mentioned sound like really good things to be concerned about. Like I would be less interested in discussions about what tools to pick, low level for whatever, but in terms of the deployment patterns, one or more, and how we would, the other piece I'm interested in would be how do we manage any type of permissions we might want to afford libraries to self-maintain their own records. And possibly allowing for some of that to be a preference and balancing all this with getting something cranked out without spending forever on it. Yeah, those are good decisions to try to make. So it sounds like something that if we can get them down and record it and spend a little bit of time with Jakob, we can at least turn them into some questions to bring to Mallory. I kind of feel like for some of it may be that there are things that we can start or we can make progress on that don't depend on resolving those questions with the SMEs, but I do think it.
Oh, and I were doing that too.
Second.
We're doing that too. This was mostly like a couple of calls I've had with Kurt that we've been kind of talking about some of that, and then
Yeah, no, I figured that.
yeah, like I've integrated the work that Adam did on CQL Go with the
Cool.
directory thing, and now you can limit your queries for directory entries with CQL. But what I didn't do yet is experiment with that and querying them based on nested resources, which is the next challenge. And so I added in, so currently the nested resources we have is the URLs for services, like the Ethernet 50 and ISO 26 endpoints and stuff. And those weren't super interesting for searching, nor were, and the symbols, we already have symbol lookup. So I went and added addresses, and those are sort of doubly nested. And I've just about got that ready. But they have their own interesting challenges. It looks like in the mock directory for Trove, we don't have the an explicit number to sequence. Like we don't store the ordering of the address lines. So that could be somewhat scary if that. Yeah, that's interesting. But it's I guess because it's in a Google Doc or something that there's a pretty rigid ordering that way. So that's been working out all right. Anyhow, I do have a question for you around that. So one of the other things, and this is when I discussed it a little bit on the channel there. So I don't know if it's that interesting to Ian.
Yeah, you want to hop off unless you're into this stuff. We
Or
won't
have other stuff that we should
hop.
talk about first. We've
All
done
right,
that.
that's good. All right, see you guys. All right.
Okay, later. Yeah, the Open API code generator, when it I wrote this actually, I wrote it off of the GitHub issue on the Open API code generator, but suffice to say, it doesn't quite handle what we would want to be able to do to succinctly express a patch API.
Okay.
Because in with patch, in order to remove, like, say you don't even want to have a phone number anymore, you would send that property as null, an explicit null. And you wouldn't be able, like, that wouldn't be valid for a post thing. And you wouldn't want to be sending explicit nulls in response to a GET request. And so in no other context is this nullable. And so there is a way where you can kind of inherit from an existing JSON schema when defining the shape of what gets returned by the endpoint. And it was my hope that we could just have it indicate the few fields that need to now be nullable. And so, for example, like something that was a mandatory field, it still wouldn't be nullable because it you wouldn't be able to delete that. You could replace it with something else, but you can't delete it. And so it would just be some subset of fields, and you just want to add this property of nullable. Well, it doesn't merge these things at all. So if you do that, then the description of phone number is now going to just be nullable true, and it won't have the type and the format and whatever else about phone number. Other libraries merge that. There are examples of people describing how to use this. Like it seems to be a fairly common practice to do that. It's just this library doesn't. This library is also, as they say quite prominently in its README, written by two busy people in their spare time, or maintained by two busy people in their spare time.
Is this the
One of
one with
them,
two other things?
this is one that we use for the broker and ILL mock.
None of which need to be a backend for UX. Do we use that pattern in the UI in Folio Land, with sort of patching records rather than overwriting them? I'm assuming
No,
that's
I
what.
think we just overwrite them. This was just my preference of the thing. I can just replace this with replacing the whole record. I just wanted to stretch the thing a little bit, and I prefer patching.
No, I get it, but I mean the Folio UX pattern is the other thing, right? There's a big fat save button, and you'd have to
Yeah.
do something clever with your business logic to actually turn that into a patch. Or have to
Well,
do
no,
something.
the form field, like the form library should tell you which fields have been, I think they refer to them as either pristine or dirty, which is a bit something, but whatever. Which fields have been dirtied
Oh,
by
cool.
the
I didn't
user. And so you would just pass those. Like it lines up pretty well with the UI.
Yeah,
But
I like it. I like it conceptually because even if we don't currently keep an audit trail, one would be able to much more easily.
And I also just don't like the idea of you want to just like update the phone number or whatever, and therefore you have to round trip the entire record through the UI code, allowing the possibility for some random bug in the UI code to interact with data that it wouldn't otherwise be hitting.
So,
You're just increasing the scope or the situations where something can go wrong here. So on a conceptual level, I'm more comfy with it because you're kind of more explicitly saying what you're doing.
but I'm assuming that the mark of the broker don't work that way.
I don't think so. But they use this library, and this library is asking for funding, and I think we should fund it if we're going to keep using it. They are only asking for $150 a month. And it seems based on the, like there's at least the number of logos here. There are four logos that it says that they are paying for 1 hour of work a month. And so I guess that since they say it's 150 to get your logo on there, I guess that's what they're pricing that at. So if we gave them 160, we would be their second highest sponsor. And so if we want to rely on this for anything significant, the on one of the other pages, one of the devs had a stated goal that if he got 1500 a month, he'd be able to dedicate a day a week to it.
Right. Yeah, no, that sounds good.
I don't have access to, I have a card, but I don't have access to sponsor it as index data. I would, and I don't, I'm the GitHub sponsoring things. So I think maybe we
No,
could talk.
I just like I think I'd just like to kind of close it out with Jakob and Adam and the gang and just be sure that we actually feel like it's a thing we
If you
want.
want to keep using this for a while,
I think it's a thing to that level. Yeah.
for sure. I just figured I would mention that because I think we should also do more of that stuff. Like if we can find 85,000 for Amazon, it'd be nice if we could support
No,
some of these tiny things.
of course, as Lynn would never neglect to say, that's a lot easier when your economy is very solid, but 1500 doesn't break the bank, of course.
Well, that's well, yeah, okay. If you want to get the guy, if you want to single-handedly support the guy for a day a week, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking pretty, yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
Right, 2 grand a year is not. It's not the type of. It doesn't break the bank, but it's also like not totally nothing.
It's not nothing exactly, yeah. However, $5 a month is getting there towards the relevant amount of money. And so the other, while we're on the topic of spending money, I also was considering signing up for ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I was just going to get their usual $20 a month plan, but then I saw that you get different models with the $25 a month business plan that has more access for the extra $5. But there are specifically, there's a minimum of two users. You can't, oh, they've just raised it to 30 now. Ha. Okay, fine. So it's a GPT-5 Pro.
Okay.
That so the plus version for 20 a month You don't have access to it at all, but you can use Codex for coding, which is what I was mainly interested in.
Right.
But as of like 2 days ago, the $25 a month pro version is it had access to GPT-5 Pro, but you have to have at least two users
Okay.
to buy two of them. Otherwise, it's $200 a month to use that model as an individual. There's no in between.
Is there anyone else?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. And I remember you were using ChatGPT a fair bit, so that maybe I figured maybe you might be interested. You were the first person that came to mind.
I ended up getting the pro thing so I could use deep research a bunch.
Okay, so you're on the 200 anyway.
Yeah, at least for now.
Well, I mean, you're probably getting at least that level of value out of it, so it seems
But
to me.
yeah, maybe ask. I think maybe try to feel out Kurt something, see if there's somebody else who could benefit from it. What's the, if
Yeah,
we don't
I
have
think
the second, if you don't have the second person, what are we looking at?
it just I would only have GPT-5, I wouldn't have GPT-5 Pro is the
Okay.
main differentiator from my perspective,
You can't
but
pay for cheap for so otherwise you have to go for the full thing.
exactly, yeah. It's not included in the plus package at all.
Right.
Whereas so you have to go to like $200. Or yeah, now there's like this one for 30 that's kind of in between that has at least some use of that model. So I could have the option to, I was basically interested in testing this out for coding. I also do use it a fair bit because it's better at architecture in a way, like just talking about software. Whereas Claude tends to be better at actually generating software from what I've read, but I haven't actually experimented with Codex yet. I almost did once, and then I canceled subscription because it to authenticate it expected to be able to connect back to itself, and I was running it in the container, and I was a bit annoyed, basically, that all the other agents ran perfectly happily in a container, and I didn't feel like I had felt like doing anything special for this one right at that moment. So I
Gotcha.
added a me too to the GitHub issue where people were already complaining about that. Yeah, they were like going into dev tools and grabbing a token and doing shenanigans. And I'm like, eh, I don't need to bother with it that much right now. I was just curious to try it out. I'll see what it's like later. But yeah, they still haven't fixed that. But it turns out the port that it picks is actually consistently the same one. So I can just forward that port and it'll probably work out.
Right. Okay.
So I would be interested in giving it a try. I guess I can just, should I just post a message on a channel, or is that a little bit too widely broadcast?
On maybe on the dev channel.
The thing is, I don't really know that
I guess I just
this is
don't.
going to be that useful. If I'm going to suggest to Kurt to get something, I would say get Claude.
Right.
It's better for what we're using it for the most part.
How about asking, I guess the only thing I would feel a little icky about would just be having somebody signing up because, oh yeah, sure, fun. Like you're not actually using it because it's just enough money where like you could spend.
It adds up, yeah. No, I understand. I respect that. So maybe I'll just use it for
But I
now
also
at the
think
lower tier.
if it'll be valuable to try or use the tool. It does seem to me that you are applying it in smart ways in terms of things you can benefit from. So I'm all for that for sure.
Well, the thing is I'm getting plenty of value out of Claude, and when I run out of Claude, I'm downgraded to Gemini, and Gemini is actually wastes my time as much as it helps me. So it would be nice to have sort of a backup for when I run out of Claude, because
Sure.
they've tightened up the usage limits a bit, and then similarly, the next tier up for Claude is to pay 100 a month.
But are you saying basically if there is a second person would be able to get ChatGPT Pro for another 30, basically? So if there's two, it's three
Right.
bucks.
So
I mean, that is a good deal from the sound of it.
exactly. If you just go to ChatGPT and go to the pricing page, you'll see that there it's kind of set up as like there's two sections, personal and business.
Yeah.
And personal has free plus and pro. And the plus package, which is the only like the first tier of paid, gives you access to Codex, which is the coding thing I'm interested in, but it only gives you the GPT-5 model, and you have to pay the 200 to get Pro. Whereas the business package includes both GPT-5 and GPT-5 Pro, as well as Codex.
I see it down here.
Yeah. So, but then you have a minimum of 2 seats, and it's $30 a seat. But I don't know to what extent that's necessarily worth it either. I haven't played with that model, so. But I see now there is a promo where it is free for the first month. So maybe that'll still be around for a while, and maybe that applies to both of them. So I can get the free plus package for a month, and then we can switch over to a free business package for another month if we really want to take them up on that.
Looking at the pricing. Okay.
I'll just do that for now then.
I'll ask Mike if he's interested.
He seemed to be a big fan of Claude, actually, from what I recall.
Yes, but he likes to. I think sometimes he likes to mix it up. I tend to go back and forth a little bit too, because they seem to be good at different things at different times.
They very much are. That is for sure the way. Well, actually, on that note, or do you just find, so you find that even with the new 4.5 models, that ChatGPT still does the deep research better than Claude?
I don't know how much I've tried. I don't have access. Do I have? I don't think I have access to deep research on Claude. That must be a premium model. I just have the basic one for Claude.
I think they call it something different. I don't use that feature that much because
No, I don't either.
I don't want to burn through my because Claude specifically, I'm using it pretty regularly for coding purposes that I tend not to use much else because I don't want to spend my tokens out on that I could be using for code.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The differences are subtle, and any given problem, I feel like any one of them can get tripped up and not do particularly well. Maybe I should make a formal comparison
There
someday.
is a research mode here. Well, what I was going to suggest though is that if you had no plan if you didn't have a subscription at all for Claude, that kind of doing a more basic level of both of them might give you a similar amount of deep research for less money. But yeah, Claude has a max plan for 100 instead of 200.
That's right. One of the things that got me on ChatGPT was that I think its image analysis is more sophisticated, which I don't really need for work, but which is fun for other stuff.
Yeah, I haven't played with that stuff really much at all. But like, yeah, that was cool you were doing that with the watches.
Yeah, although, and I did it for, I did it for when I was trying to understand, sort of price out and understand how deep of a hole I was in for repairs for my old house. I would go around and take pictures of features that were broken and say, "Hey, what's this going to cost me?" And it at least it faked a convincing enough output that it made me feel like something was going on. In terms of guessing at extent of damage or the types of repairs that might be needed and what typical prices for that sort of thing in New Hampshire might be.
Right, like, and if you have basically nothing else to go on, if you haven't shopped around for anything like that for rather a while, that it's probably better than just totally winging it. So, it's got more of an idea than you do at that point.
And then OCR, I've been messing a little bit with OCR of handwritten notes. I'm big into handwriting my work notes and such, and sort of on occasion, it's interesting to digitize them, though often not. And it seems like ChatGPT does a little bit better. Although I did have one of these, I was trying for fun. I'd written a whole bunch of pages from a conference I was sitting in on yesterday, and I was trying to scan them, and ChatGPT was pretty much 90% faking it. At one point, it was like, "Oh, okay, I see you've given me six densely written handwritten notes. Do you want me to scan them?" And I was like, "Yes." And then it was like, "Okay, and just to confirm, like, do you want me to summarize or give you a full breakdown?" And I said, "Well, do both." And it would ask some more questions, and then eventually it'll be like, "Okay, I'm gonna go off and process these notes right now. I'll come back when I'm done." Nothing. It's returned to the prompt.
Funny.
And I'd be like, "Did you forget something?" And it was like, "All right, you're right. Let me get on that right now." Nothing.
I did notice that something that changed with Claude Sonnet 4.5 over 4. Very humble of them not to go to 5 when their competitor is advanced to that particular numeral, but that 4.5 does not, or it is actually a little more willing to say, I just can't, or no, or you're wrong. Any kind of pushback is apparently hard for it. And so it's like, it's good that they're able to move in that direction somehow.
Really difficult for them to say no.
Because I guess they're just so primed that they're trying to help.
Yeah.
They need to, or
But
something.
whenever
Absolutely.
they do that, it does significantly undermine your any kind of confidence that, I mean, at this point, I'm bought into the notion that this particular type of tech is not going to get you anywhere, even in sighting distance of any form of AGI, that you're going to need something profoundly different on top of them or next to them.
Which I think is for the best. I don't think humanity is ready for that.
Clearly, these companies are ready for
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And
it.
if we are ready for it, we don't want it to be in the hands of these guys. That's for sure.
So no, that's a very good thing. We dodged a bullet there.
But it's almost like a fire drill.
Yeah.
When it was looking like it might happen,
It really did.
they.
Like, it looked like I mean, they certainly convinced themselves, at least, that the curve was going to just keep going steeper and steeper the more data they plugged in. And the big deal seems to have been that they just hit a wall, and thank God for that.
Yeah.
All right. Are we good?
Yeah. Yeah, so
Do
let me know.
you want me to ask Mike about that thing?
Yeah, sure. Let me know what he says. Or I
Okay.
can just use the plus one for now. I mean, it still gets me codecs, so. And we might be like, apparently there's a free month going on, so I might be able to get a free month out of that, and then
All
you can
right,
set
glad
up
you
the business
tried.
plan and get a free month out of the business plan. So,
Give it a shot. We'll chat with I'll, at some point. I'll try to chat with Mike about whether we should get in on the business thing and get more people on it. It'd be interesting to hear the other devs' perspective on what they like to use and whether there's any kind of benefit to converging on an approach to using these kinds of tools. I don't have a good sense on the consensus for how useful they are. And whether like
Yeah.
yeah.
I find it very useful, but it also, some of it is just particular to
Like everybody
me.
works a little different, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I like these ones is because, as I demonstrated, I can run them in a container, so it feels safer somehow that I'm not installing this stuff directly on my local profile. I'm sure some people prefer to have it more integrated with their IDE situation.
Do you know what if Kurt is using these types of tools to assist in debugging and such on ModEyes?
Yeah, he. So I had him set up with Gemini that we're already. I wasn't sure. I got. Are we actually paying extra per seat for Gemini for everyone?
Over and above the stuff, I don't know. I think I don't believe so because I think we would know. I think it just comes with the whatever thing we buy from them.
Right. Yeah, anyways, it's not great, but it's also not useless. And it was somewhat able. I had been in, like, I can't remember what he was work. One of the things he was working on, it was fairly well suited to. So I just ran it momentarily, and I pasted him sort of the first thing that it came up with that seemed potentially useful, like, oh, here's something that might be useful to go on. And it was, so I encouraged him to run it. I shared my Docker file and stuff with him.
It might be
Actually, I
good to
updated that Docker file. I should give him an update.
Okay, we should.
Maybe I should encourage him to try Claude. Yeah, I do find
Good
that it does.
to get a sense on what people are using and whether there's any upside to converging on some of it.
I definitely rather not switch to something like Copilot.
Sure.
So, I think it, like you say, everyone kind of works differently. So I imagine that we might have our own preferences for a while, and that, yeah, I imagine, like, just based on how I've interacted with it through the web interface, that GPT-5 will be useful in an interesting and different way than Claude when I've got the code base wired into it. So I think the answer is going to be we're going to want both.
Right.
And that the being on the same page, that there's a, like, it has integration with Google Drive and stuff like that. And so collaborating on documents and stuff, that's where everyone using the same software is going to be more helpful.
Right.
That I don't know if we're, yeah, but I, well, so there is this idea of a, like, Claude calls it Claude.md, but a lot of other providers have standardized on agents.md. So we just make a symlink for now because Claude wants to be special and, like, put its brand on a repository that uses it. Kind of obnoxious. But there's a file that gets loaded into context at the beginning of any chat about particular code base. And so that can give it some useful direction on, hey, what is this software even about? Where would files do what? Like, how's it laid out? And so it doesn't have to just poke around and feel its way through it every time it tries doing anything. And it in fact, in its documentation suggests that if you don't feel like writing one of these, you can tell it to generate one, and it'll look around and come up with something. And so that would be the kind of thing that we might consider if we're all using some of these tools some of the time, checking into our repositories and collaboratively maintaining. But we can just give it a generic name and symlink it to Claude.md for Claude's purposes, and that would work out. Because I think because it is a description of the software, it's sort of agnostic as to which model is involved.
All right.
But yeah, otherwise I can't really think of anything that would be particularly advantageous for like kind of all doing the same thing. I'm more interested in us all using Git Go the same way.
Yes.
That's a kind of
All
a
right.
learning thing as well.
Yeah. I'm not trying to push some agenda on this.
It's worth thinking about.
Maybe. I'd mostly like to just make sure that folks aren't getting left behind and not using where it could really benefit them.
Yeah, I get you. Apparently, even Mike Taylor uses it.
That's remarkable, right?
Or so he likes to occasionally mention in hopes that it keeps us away from him in terms of pushing it off.
That may be it.
I think he wouldn't be shy to tell us if he was proudly not using it. So.
No. No.
All right.
All right.
I'll get back to it. I think I'll just keep the patch API for now because I've got that implemented, but I don't know. Maybe in some of our discussions, we'll just decide that, hey, let's just put this
Was
back to put like
the
everything else.
whole, you don't want to just toss a question into the dev channel, you think it'll be ignored? Yeah.
Well, it was when I originally did it.
Well,
That was like way back when I was laying this thing out. That's one of the things that I tried to circulate, but that's fine. Conveniently, that kind of refactoring is a lot easier with Claude. So,
okay.
and I also find that for the somewhat verbose nature of Go and these tests, that the it's good at like, oh, here, make a test harness for the addresses for some addresses in Germany on this one, because the other ones were US addresses, and we're kind of flexing the fact that this format is able to do kind of both styles. And we're going to make a patch request that's going to add a new address and update a property of an existing one. And it'll just add that into the test for me. And I didn't need to correct much, and that was great. That saved a lot of fiddly typing. So
Gotcha.
it's definitely good for stuff like that. And that, yeah, it was able to follow the pattern of the existing software and add in new stuff without too much. But the problem is I don't trust it. I mean, I shouldn't, but because I know I can't, I have to kind of carefully read through it. And it's just, you know, it's, I don't know why, but I feel compelled to almost mask the fact that I didn't write this. Like it's like if I have something up there, I'm committing this as me. I mean, first I'm committing this. I don't want to add any bugs, but I also don't want it to look generated, like I edit the comments to be more readable, but then I know, but and less AI sounding, but usually more succinct as a result. And part of that is just keeping things clean and maintainable because I'm putting this into a code base that might stick around. But I don't know that I feel like I'm also trying to hide it in some level, and I don't know why. But
I can get that, I think.
Because like I don't want it to be worse than if I did it, basically. I don't want to compromise on the quality. But I feel like I spend an inordinate amount of time reviewing its work, like more than I would review my own work. But hey, that might make it better in the end, so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a whole new style, but I think everybody probably has to figure out what the rhythm is.
Interesting experience. And then they'll just change the way it works in 2 months. So good luck with that. All right. Thanks, though. I'll let you go. I'm sorry. Kept you a while here.
All right. We'll touch on.
There. Thanks.
Bye.